This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in on a Thursday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Jared Smith sitting in for his second day, doing a great job. We appreciate his preparedness, his professionalism. It's new. Welcome. Now, a couple of things. One, we're going to get to the injury of Ohtani last night, what it means moving forward. But we should talk about the Arizona Cardinals, who are waving the white flag. So earlier today, and one of the teams that we want to focus on before I say hi officially to the boys is the Giants today. I'm higher on the Giants than most, so we'll get into it. And they just traded Wink Martindale is going to be throwing a party tonight. They just traded for, you want to call him a linebacker, you want to call him a safety, Isaiah Simmons, the stud out of Clemson, who went to the worst organization possible coming out of college in Arizona. And Jared was just telling me they traded another player. You look at Arizona in the market right now, they're 4.5, a little juice, $1.20 to the under over at DraftKings. But that is a team, boys, as I say hi officially, that is a team that is waving, Jared, the white flag.
Yeah, Josh Jones, the tackle, started 11 games last year, gets shipped to Houston. I do think that's not the best of news for Titus Howard, who I think has a hand or wrist injury in some capacity. That's the other tackle on the opposite of Laramie Tunsil there in Houston that's going to be keeping C.J. Stroud upright this year. So that's the other end of that deal is Houston obviously might need a little bit of tackle depth, but on the caboose end of this coin, I mean, Arizona, it's truly remarkable. And I don't know what Kyler Murray must be thinking right now, because if I'm Kyler Murray and I'm rehabbing from an injury that I don't want to say is a serious injury for a quarterback, but it's important that he comes back healthy. But we've seen quarterbacks come back from that injury before and play pretty well. But I would take my time, because I just don't see a whole lot of upside with him rushing back and getting back into a situation that's obviously very poor. And it's pretty obvious to pretty much anyone who has eyeballs that follows the NFL that the Cardinals are trying to get one of these quarterbacks at the top of the draft next year, and they're pretty hell-bent on making sure their roster's bare bones so they can have the worst record in the league.
Akin to what we saw with a new coach, new general manager, new regime in 2022 with the Bears, rip it down, get some space heading into next year. You mentioned the word caboose. That brings in the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. What's cracking?
Oh, I know.
Just tell me something. Don't, before you get into a cool sports take, because that's what how you like to impress people. You identify being a sports guy. Tell me something. Uplift my mood.
So, this is not going to uplift you, but I realized this morning I am really getting old. A few things happened. One, I've started making involuntary grunts and growls throughout the day based on like how my body feels, like legit. Like I caught myself walking through the corridors of the South Point, and I was like,
"Do you talk to yourself? Like, are you?" I talk to myself all day long.
Talk.
Usually,
and
it's
sing.
My dog that bears the brunt of it. But
and then second, I've started to. I forgot my sunglasses today on the way to work. I convinced myself on the drive in that you know what. Transition lenses just kind of make sense. Like,
you ever thought about contacts?
They're efficient. Like, transition lenses, they would just make my life a little bit easier.
Okay. Now, I guess I should quickly transition into a sports take, because that was wild. Let's talk. Before we get to the Giants, just quickly, Isaiah Simmons, I know you and your friends were in the group text earlier today, fired up about the Giants adding the linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, I was low on the Giants up until this morning, and it's very odd that a trade for a failed hybrid safety linebacker in the NFL would get me fired up. But I got to tell you, we're all down on the – everyone's saying, you know, the Giants, they came out of nowhere last year. They had an easy schedule. A lot of luck went their way. They're going to regress this year. And I think that statement would make sense if they were running it back. But this is a totally different look Giants team, especially on the offensive side of the football. There were no vertical threats a year ago. There was no one to stretch the field.
We're going to break down the team. Can you just pump the brakes a little?
Isaiah
Simmons.
I got
a lot to get to over the next 7 minutes, and you're about to go telestrator on me on the Giants. What's up?
Well, you asked me about the – I had something canned for the Cardinals, and then you said the Giants, and I was like,
no.
I got to pivot.
I asked you specifically Isaiah Simmons. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
And you started breaking down the offense.
I'm excited because I wanted the Giants to draft him. That's what I wanted.
Thank you.
I wanted him to be drafted by the Giants. Now I'm getting him for next to nothing.
That's excited.
That's a fact,
for
actually.
You.
next to nothing.
Sitting there at the South Point, we've got a Jets fan, we've got a Giants fan, and big guy, I'm with you. 7.5, they're +160, yes, to make the postseason over at DraftKings. We're going to get into it. You're going to have plenty of time to stretch out. A couple of things. As we were leaving yesterday, Jonathan Taylor was granted permission to seek a trade. I don't know if either of you have heard of teams that are inquiring. I did hear the Eagles are very interested. Anytime Roseman's down with something, it gets interesting because that is a very clever organization. Anything else on Taylor quickly, boys?
That smells like a bit of a PR dump. For example, I don't think Jonathan Taylor's agent is calling teams asking to be traded. I think what, at least the way that I perceive the situation, I'm assuming that the Colts gave Jonathan Taylor's agent a list of the teams that they're talking to, and then the agent is going and talking to those teams about the contract renegotiation. I would be very surprised if Jonathan Taylor is negotiating his own trade terms through his representation. So it feels like we're going to get an outcome to this a lot sooner than anyone expected, because this is clearly picking up a lot of steam.
Gainwell, Swift, Sermon, you and I have talked about, we love the way they threw this backfield together in Philly. Are you hearing Taylor to Philly?
I think I read a couple of reports. I'll be completely honest. One of the people reporting it, I will not say their name, he tends to make a lot of stuff up on the internet, and it gains a lot of traction. And in NBA and NFL circles, most people who are connected tend to refute his reports immediately, but he's really good at getting people to talk about his reports.
We call that clickbait, right?
Yeah. So I actually think he's going to end up staying in Indy. I don't think they're going to get an offer that overwhelms.
Wow.
And I think Indy may end up actually using the negotiations as a way to find out what the market thinks and get him a number that makes sense for him that he could have gotten from another team.
A happy ending. In Indy.
I don't hate that. A happy ending.
Yeah.
Dustin, for
that sounds like a happy ending to me right there.
The big guy. As we were leaving yesterday and closing out the show, also Sam Darnold was officially named QB2 in the Bay, San Francisco. Trey Lance, former number 3 overall pick. You know what's fascinating about this? So Lance was the number 3 overall pick. Darnold, draft before two, was the number 3 overall pick. And they're behind number 262, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. Also, you understand what the Miami Dolphins flipped that trade. Remember, San Francisco traded with the Dolphins to move up to grab Trey Lance. They flipped that move into Hill, Waddle, and Chubb. When it was all said and done, those three players, by way of the assets they acquired with the trade, they got Hill, they got Waddle, and they got Chubb. That's not bad, right?
Yeah, I think all parties involved. And just going back, it's funny. I was looking at that 2020 draft with Isaiah Simmons. Remember, there was such a battle between him and Jeff Okuda to be the top, like, secondary kind of piece.
Woof.
Both of those guys just completely. And it just goes to show you. And I think the Trey Lance situation is another example of that. The assets that they give up, the talk before the draft. What do the Niners know about Trey Lance? Like, why is he being coveted in this way? Because a lot of conventional analysts said, well, he plays at North Dakota State and we know nothing about him and he barely has any experience. Why is he being valued like he's the Peyton Manning, you know, Andrew Luck of this draft? Teams trading up to get him. And it just shows how volatile the top of these drafts can be, and just how thin of a line it is with the player development trying to scout these guys, and how wrong you can be on one guy and then right on someone else. Brock Purdy probably should have been drafted a little bit higher than the 7th round, the last pick. Trey Lance probably should have been drafted a little bit lower than being traded up for in the top 5.
Yep, 100%. Jerry Jeudy, boys, as we just kind of open with a random grab bag, and then we'll get into the Giants. Jerry Jeudy was carted off the field today at Broncos practice. That's the issue. Those wide receivers, every time we look at the depth chart of the Broncos, Dustin, we look at the wide receivers and we think, whether it's Patrick or Jeudy or Sutton, we always think there's so much talent on the outside and there's always injuries. We don't have further diagnosis, but we do know that Jeudy carted off practice today. Not great.
Yeah, Tim Patrick already lost for the year. I mean, this is actually great for Russell Wilson, because now he has a built-in excuse for why he fails to live up to the expectations again. Now he can say, well, last year was Nathaniel Hackett, and this year all of my receivers got hurt. I can't win with some of these guys you have me throwing the ball to. Kendall Hilton's like my wide receiver 3 now.
He's got Cortland Sutton. Mims looks good, and Judy will be back. It's a hamstring. But I agree. It's not an ideal situation, especially for a new, let's call it, guru in town, Sean Payton. We'll see exactly what impact he has on this offense besides just running his mouth after practice. But I think it definitely isn't a, even though, you know, the big fella did spin it in a very positive way. I don't know how much I can, you know, add to that spin based off of their arguably best offensive player now being carted off with what seems to be a soft tissue injury.
And finally, we're going to focus on football today, but finally, the Newsboys last night torn UCLA for Shohei Ohtani. This just does so much. So the season's blown for the Angels, but how about a guy? He's going to get shut down. 304 batting average, 44 home runs, 314 ERA, and 167 Ks. It's one of the great seasons. What are we, 126 games in, Jared? One of the great seasons we've ever seen. Wonder what happens with free agency. You know, the usage, he's going to be 30 years old. Sad to see last night as he was pulled.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but it's going to go down as one of the worst decisions perhaps in the history of sports business, not to trade him at the deadline and to try to muster some kind of resistance to what has been a really disappointing season. They also put Mike Trout on the IL last night. I mean, it's just, but that seems to be another recurring theme. With the Ohtani thing, I do think this will impact free agency. Because I would imagine a UCL, he's not going to pitch next year or most of next year. So it's going to change things a little bit in the offseason.
And I forced Dustin Sweetelson to watch the Messi assist while I was on the phone with him today from the Open Cup yesterday. And you were impressed. Yes, big guy?
It was pretty impressive, but I think it's like me playing against a bunch of nine-year-olds.
Okay, take a deep breath because it's your time to shine. The Giants are next here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, college football, NFL, they're coming, but so is the NFL updated guide throughout the NFL preseason. The VSIN, by the way, we've got two preseason games tonight, which we'll discuss. But our VSIN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month, and we're going to help you get ahead. So picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use the VSIN betting splits and football contest strategies. Become a VSIN pro today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special. So you get everything we offer, including the daily picks for $199 through the Super Bowl. It's easy to sign up. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Jared Smith sitting in. We appreciate him. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. Hope you're having a nice week. As I mentioned, got football tonight, got week zero coming up on Saturday. I just heard from Jared Smith. He is a Navy expert, so we're going to grill him on Navy, the midshipman, coming up in just a little bit. But we start with the Giants. And big guy, this is your time to shine. So take a deep breath. Get that heart rate ready. Because whether or not you want to call the Giants from last year and Daboll's first year, Jared, over their skis, there were some positive signs. They were 9-7-1. The statistical profile showed they weren't as good as their record would indicate. So regression obviously is expected. You see a 9-win team knocked down to 7.5 as far as the season win total. Under is actually juiced to $1.20. They won 6 games decided by 7 points or less. So maybe some luck there. A -6 as far as the point differential. They were 21st in football outsiders DVOA. So I'm just giving you reasons as to why people are expecting a bit of a regression. I'm sorry, I don't see it. I think they've had a really good offseason. I think Daboll gets comfortable in year two. We can talk about Daniel Jones, who took a step forward. The assumption was that's it. That's kind of the ceiling, but I think that's naive. A career best as far as completion percentage for the quarterback, yards, pass rating, interception percentage, which his interception percentage was the best in the NFL. So that's a lot of words. Why don't we start? This is going to be two segments, boys. So both of you are going to have plenty of time. You can interrupt me as well, but Jared, we'll start with you. And before you start breaking down specific positions, let's look back to last year and then apply it to this year. Let's go with the Giants.
Yeah. So the first thing I noticed in, how do we quantify what a coach means to a team? Well, wins and losses help, but there's a lot of nuance involved there. Specific offensive coaching and play calling and efficiency, that was the biggest year-over-year improvement that I noticed from the Giants of 2 years prior, pre-Brian Daboll, to last year. So third down avoidance, which means to me, first and second down efficiency, not having to worry about third downs. The Giants went from 31st to 6th in that category last year. That is an incredible year-over-year improvement. And red zone conversion rate, going from dead last, 32nd, to the year before Brian Daboll, to 7th last year. So if you want to look at two categories that, to me, show the impact, quantifying an impact that a coach has getting your team in and out of the right things, Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, OC, head coach, those two categories, to me, are just night and day. Now, they won a lot of close games last year, and that to me is a little bit worrisome. 8-4-1 in one score games, and four of their first five wins came in games that they trailed at halftime. That is a very hard rate to sustain, because they also just went 2-7 against teams that finished with a winning record. So I am very bullish on the Giants because I believe in Brian Daboll, and I think Daniel Jones now looks like he can operate an offense, and they did make a lot of nice additions. But there are some things in the close game category and comeback category that tell you, okay, this is why I think the win total probably is where it is.
Wonderful metrics. Love third down. Love the red zone efficiency wise. Kafka, he's brilliant. He's going to get a head coaching job. Yeah. He eventually is going to obviously get one of the 32. And last year, I think they may have lost him during the offseason, but I think he stuck around because he likes what's happening there. Daboll is a guy that everybody kind of gravitates for. He's a galvanizer. Big guy. We'll get to the defense. If you missed it earlier today, Isaiah Simmons for a 7th rounder. Wink Martindale is going to have so much fun. Nobody blitzed by a long shot more than this Giants team. I think that was out of weakness up front. I think the team's better up front this year. They won't have to blitz as much, although Wink does. Let's put the defense over here. Big guy, we now come back to you. Original part of the show. You were about to dig into the offense. What do you like?
I think they're good. And no. So the thing about the Giants offense last year is, despite not having the ponies to run the race, they were innovative, they were inspiring, and they were constantly evolving. Like, it was a very creative offense that you didn't know what you were getting week to week from them. And I think that was one of the biggest things, was that they kept a lot of teams on their heels, and they couldn't figure out how they were going to approach stopping this offense. Obviously, Daniel Jones's legs make a difference. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, while you and I aren't big running back guys, Patrick, he is vital to this offense's success with his ability to catch the ball and make big plays and pick up big chunks. But I think a lot of that was out of necessity a year ago. When you look at what they did with the receivers they had, Darius Slayton, who missed some time, Richie James, Isaiah Hodgins, those were your three leading receivers. Isaiah Hodgins was picked up off the scrap heap. He played 8 games. He had the 3rd most receiving yards on the team a season ago. The offensive line last year was okay. Neal on the right side looking more like a guard than a tackle, which could be an issue. But I think the way they scheme things up, the O-line can be average and they can still be an offense that moves the ball up and down the field. The hardest thing about the Giants a year ago was not just did they win a bunch of really close one-score games, but when it came time for the true tests to play the elite of the elites, right? The teams that were really good last year. You got Dallas, you got Philly, you got Detroit. They couldn't hang. They were not in the same ballpark. And I think they made moves this past offseason to get them to that next level, where I don't know if they're there yet, but that gap has definitely been closed.
Great job. Let's stick with the offense. I just wrote down earlier today, wide receiver, do they have a true one? I'm not sure, but they've got options. You mentioned Slayton, Hodgins, Paris Campbell, Sterling Shepard. Yes, ACL. Wandale Robinson coming off the ACL, but your favorite in Jalen Hyatt, cheat code at Tennessee. It could be exciting, but we haven't even discussed, Jared, so I'll start with you here, Darren Waller. The Huge. Early returns that Jones is enamored with Waller. If Waller is healthy, I don't want to say this team's a Super Bowl team. Okay, I'll back up a little bit. If Waller is healthy, this team could be special. I'm sorry. I truly believe that because he is a difference maker.
Yeah, I think everyone is searching for the Travis Kelce effect. I think the one thing that the Chiefs have done is they've made that position a viable number one receiver option now. And I know there's been a lot of really good number one tight ends in years past. Tony Gonzalez was probably the first one.
Kafka knows how
to
work with
the
tight end. It's 100%. Hard to interrupt you, but Kafka, that's a chief guy right there.
And I do think you are going to see a lot of similar concepts to what Travis Kelce does, where they will get him the ball in space. And we don't hear that often with the tight end, but I think he has those unique abilities to get open. And again, it all boils down to the brain trust. And if you trust Daniel Jones to be the trigger man, if that's the case, there is not any reasonable mind can say the Giants' weapons this year are night and day compared to last. We haven't mentioned Saquon Barkley's name yet. So I just think there are a lot of more options this year. It's all about how it comes together. The offensive line is a concern. Listen, they were bottom five in pass block, run block, win rate last year. Like, that needs to be better because Daniel Jones, under pressure, the metrics drop off dramatically. It's his run game that's going to be, I think, the X factor, but there is not a doubt in my mind that the Giants have more toys in the toy chest this year. It's just about how they use them.
Dustin Sweetelson, you were better year two in your job. A teacher's better year two in their job. A head coach is better year two in their job. A quarterback's better year two in his system. He hadn't. Jones had a consistent system until now, turning it over again with Daboll. I think Daboll's going to be a superstar. I think Jones is underrated. The numbers were awesome. The interception percentage, like I mentioned, was the best in the NFL. Let's go to Jones last minute here, and then we'll come back, talk defense and gambling implications. I don't know where you were. You were wishy-washy on Daniel Jones, although it was Shermer. It was Judge is a legit clown. The coach that was coaching, he got himself fired in a press conference in the post game. He's a clown. There's grown-ups in the room now. Where are you on Jones?
You know, you and I were on the air when he was drafted, and you yelled at me for how much I hated the pick of Daniel Jones. And I think at the time I said he at best is a Case Keenum, Ryan Tannehill type quarterback. And I have to say he's definitely more than that. Like, his athleticism is legit. And the problem for Daniel Jones has not been Daniel Jones, as you pointed out. He went through Joe Judge and Pat Shermer, the donkiest of donks to ever donk in the NFL. Like, it's really tough.
You didn't mention Ben McAdoo's name either. And that was pre-Daniel Jones.
Yeah, so
it's been a rough stretch for the Giants.
Look, I think a general betting philosophy, bet on coaches, franchises, and even college programs going from year one to year two. They will make their biggest jumps. So I'm intrigued.
Okay, we'll continue. The draft, free agency, defense, and gambling implications this year with the Giants. I think they're undervalued. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters recently sat down with legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger to discuss his new book, Gambler, Secrets from a Life at Risk. Now, for a limited time, you can get a copy of Billy Walters' new book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up, become a VSiN Pro, and use the code Billy, B-I-L-L-Y. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep, betting guides, 24-7 video, pro tools, everything. What are you waiting on? Remember to use the promo code Billy, B-I-L-L-Y, VSiN.com/subscribe. You know a grown-ass man is confident when his name is William. And he doesn't say, call me Bill. He's a grown-ass man that's Billy, okay? He's not concerned. It's just confidence, and that's Billy Walters if you ever met him, ever talked to him. And I know Jared's listening to the audiobook.
Yeah.
He's got that Louisville twang, even on 1.2, correct, Jared Smith?
Yeah, I got through another chapter, actually, on my walk this morning. I got through the chapter of him moving from, I forget the name of the town in Kentucky where he was from, to Louisville in his early teen years, and just his high school time kind of really struggled. I mean, he had a really rough childhood, and you know, the upbringing. He had his first kid when he was in high school, and had to raise that kid with his basically teenage bride. And they went and got hitched in Tennessee, but because the legal law to get married in Kentucky was 18 and they weren't 18, they drove to Tennessee to get hitched. And so it is a very interesting, and again, I'm only 3.5 chapters in. I haven't even gotten to the gambling part yet, really. I'm still in the early days. But his story, I didn't know any of his story, his early childhood story. But it really shows how hardened and willing to risk it all he was. And I think it kind of baked into his personality there of a very successful gambler based off of that very difficult childhood.
Check out the book, Gambler, Secrets from a Life at Risk, and you get a free copy, vsin.com/subscribe. I'm still waiting. Jared Smith sitting in here. Sharp Money, great to have him. I'm Patrick Maher. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm waiting for the call from when the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, says, I went through the Vegas, I guess it's the Elvis drive-thru, and got hitched with a chick I met on Tinder last week.
I was I relate to the Billy Walters story in the sense that the reason I definitely didn't sleep with girls in high school was because I was scared I was going to get them pregnant. Not because none of them wanted to speak
Got
to
it.
Me.
Got it. Understood. Right. I'm writing that one down in the book. So when we do the biography later on in life, Dustin, I'll make sure that's highlighted, underlined.
If that's a story that works for you, bro, I'm telling you.
It's going in the fiction section. Let's just leave it at that.
And those same girls that wouldn't do that then, they don't reply to my Instagram DMs now.
That's most. It's most of my Instagram DMs too these days feel like they go unreplied. So I feel your pain, pal.
The regression is, as far as the market, seemingly coming. It's ominous, right? The statistical profile, as we mentioned with the Giants, didn't add up. So we're expecting that 9-7-1 to come back a little bit, 7.5 in the market to make the playoffs over at DraftKings for the Giants. It's +160. I'm missing something here. Isaiah Simmons traded to help Wink Martindale. I mentioned, Jared, that he blitzed more than anyone in the NFL last year. I don't think that's sustainable. Kayvon Thibodeau, obviously they helped the defensive front. The draft got A's across the board.
Yeah.
Banks, the Maryland cornerback, should step in right away and help him. The center out of Minnesota, we talked about Jalen Hyatt. Again, you both mentioned Evan Neal. That's another year, second year. I think he gets better. Andrew Thomas, the offensive line, step forward. These are all positives, right? The weapons we were discussing during the break, how electric Wandale Robinson is, if his ACL is better. Sterling Shepard, who's been out, feels like forever with the ACL. They do have talent. I'm going to say this. The NFC is weak. That's like, if you just look at it as a conference, the NFC is weak, and at +160 a team, I'm not expecting them to win the division. It's brutal, but I do expect this to be a wild card team in the Giants, Jared.
I agree. And I think they spent some money in the offseason too, Okereke and Robinson, right? You know, and this is a defense that actually finished with the third highest adjusted games lost to injury last year. So if you expect some positive defensive injury regression, again, they went out and spent some money. They just brought in what some would say is a very interesting, let's say, chessboard piece with Isaiah Simmons. I have no idea where he's going to be deployed, but I can tell you that Wink Martindale's defense is aggressive, and I think that fits his style. The Giants blitzed more than any team in the league last year, and they had the fewest missed tackles of any team in the league last year. They're aggressive. They're a good fundamental defense. They might not have the top-tier talent, especially in the secondary, that a lot of really good defenses covet. But I do think Wink Martindale's, let's call it chaos theory, might mask some of that. Now, there's some volatility there, so you would expect positive but also negative results when you do have that kind of a blitzing scheme. But there's definitely an arrow pointed up. I think this line, honestly, I honestly do think the win total is a well-set number, and I think the schedule matters a little bit. I think the division they play in matters a little bit. We expect Washington to be better. We think Philly is the best team in the conference, obviously the best team in the division. Unsure about Dallas. We could probably argue about how good Dallas is. Maybe that's the second ladder, you know, the second rung of the ladder. The Giants can overcome that. But I think the line's well set, but I definitely think there's a lot of reasons to be very optimistic about the Giants season.
I expected you, Dustin, to be more defensive as far as how this team's being discussed. We can come up with a trio that's better than Daboll, Kafka, and Martindale. There's not going to be many. I keep on repeating myself with the year two. The roster's better this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Nine wins last year. A lot of it, close games. I get it. Jared brought up a great point, trailing at the half. Some of it's going to be luck. There's going to be a reversal, regression. We're going to see it with Minnesota as well. Not going to win 13 games, but I think they're better than most believe. Dustin, I expect you to be more defensive for your G-men.
Yeah, here's why. The issue isn't them. The issue is not the Giants. I think the Giants improved drastically. I think they made a lot of great moves. I think they're going to be a better football team than they were a year ago. The schedule is brutal. There are a few key spots in this schedule that are going to absolutely test how good this team is and how resilient they are in their ability to bounce back. Opening with Dallas, then going to Arizona, whatever, but it's back-to-back road games. At Arizona, then out west again at the Niners.
Short week.
Yep. On a Thursday.
Yeah.
Correct.
Then they're probably going to stay in Phoenix that week.
They have to. And then they'll host Seattle, but then it's back-to-back AFC East opponents, Miami and Buffalo, who everyone expects to both be playoff teams. Washington is never easy. The Jets are improved. They have to come to Vegas. I think the Raiders stink, but it's coming off that Jets game. Who knows what you're getting with going to Dallas coming the next week after Vegas? Then they go to Washington.
Three straight road games there.
It is
November.
An absolutely brutal schedule. And as always, you're closing two of your final three against Philly. Sure, you get to sandwich the Rams in the middle there, but New Orleans is not going to be easy, and Green Bay is a wild card. I think this is an 8-9 win team. That's how it feels to me.
It's a well-set line. And I think, honestly, I think the better value is for them to make the playoffs at plus 160.
And I think
because you're getting the plus price, whereas you can coin flip a lot of these games, but you're getting a coin flip price to the over. Whereas if the coin comes your direction, you're getting plus 160 on that price. If they win nine games, they're making the playoffs in the NFC. And maybe even eight. What was the final wildcard spot in the NFC last year? How many wins was that spot? I would be shocked if it was more than nine. I think nine was probably the ceiling. So you're getting an extra win. You have to win nine games instead of eight for you to win that bet, but you're getting plus 160.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
And the Giants went 9-7-1.
Shameful, Dustin. Are you on the ropes and playing the okey-doke game right now? Let the rest of the league punch itself out, and then the Giants sneak into the postseason, and you can secretly be happy.
No.
Shameful.
No, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I just think the schedule is, like, it did them favors. There's back-to-back road games, then home for one. Back-to-back road games, home for two, and one of them is the Jets. Three on the road, and then New England and a bye. Like,
technically, you lose a home game, too, because that Jets game is not a home game.
Yes.
It's neutral.
Yeah, there's no advantage.
I would say it's a neutral. None.
So,
zero.
I just think the schedule is going to be what does this team in. Again, they're going to be better. They're going to play better. They're going to be a lot more fun. I just don't like the way this thing sets up. And last year, you got to remember, the schedule a year ago, they opened with a win over the Titans.
Yep.
No one thought the Titans would be as bad as they were. Then they beat Carolina. No one thought, people were iffy on Carolina. People talked themselves into them. Then they got to beat the Bears. They somehow beat the Ravens, which was a big shocker. They beat at Jacksonville.
The Packers won in London was big.
And then they ran, yes. And
that was when I was like, wow, this team actually knows how to close out games. From a betting perspective, I would just bet them week one against the Cowboys. If they lose that game, like I bet them on the money line. If they lose that game, you might get a 7 or a 6.5 on the win total in season. To me, that's how I think
division.
I would play it.
I know it's a brutal, and I like the plus 160 postseason. I wouldn't even mess with that 7.5, but I know it's a brutal division, but are you both that, all caps, that high on the Cowboys this year?
Yes.
I understand sacrilege to talk about the Cowboys negatively
I'm on the fence on Dallas. Don't trust Dak long term. Yeah, I don't trust Dak long term, but I think the roster is good.
I think the Cowboys are going to end up winning the division.
I think the roster is really good. It's just a matter of Dak's. They're obviously overvalued in the market, but we're talking about in relation to the Giants. I think they're better than the Giants right now. I do.
Their most important offensive piece is running the offense in Los Angeles with Mr. Herbert.
Speaking
that
of the interesting year there.
Big miss. I'm sorry. That is going to be a big miss. Moore is a tremendous offensive play caller. When we come back, Jared's got some thoughts on the Ravens this year. Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Futile effort by the big guy trying to sell us on the snakes during the break. It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. I love them at the beginning of the year. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football season. Our experts are going to provide profiles of every team. Just check it out. Trust me, $199, you're going to get both the guides and everything we offer through the Super Bowl, or you want to give it a try for a month, $19. That's it. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jared Smith, of course, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Quickly let you know, got a packed couple of hours coming up. Josh Applebaum, our buddy, VSiN betting analyst at the top of the hour, 14 minutes. Matt Derry, one of my mentors growing up. He does a great job with the Lions podcast in Detroit. Sean Green, good job with the big guy. One of our former co-workers over at Mad Dog Sports Radio is now going to be a host here at VSiN, and he's going to join us. John Middlecoff does a great job, and he will join talking about what's happening in the Bay with San Francisco. Okay. And by the way, did you guys see this? So we were talking about it a little during the break. You get to a point in life, they call it FU money, and you just have money equity where things don't bother you. You could say whatever you want. And then there's age equity. And Jerry Jones is now 80 years old. And when you get into your 80s, you just start throwing caution to the wind. You can say whatever you want because what are people going to do? Time is limited. We flipped over the hourglass. You understand what I'm saying? So Jerry Jones was asked about defensive end Sam Williams. You're asking, who the hell is Sam Williams? Well, he's a dude that has a lead foot. So last year, Sam Williams got a speeding ticket because he was going 98 miles an hour. It's not great. This year, he got a speeding ticket because he was going 66 miles an hour. Here's what Jerry Jones had to say about his defensive end. This sounds a little hollow, but he's maturing. What was he going? 66 miles an hour? That's 32 miles an hour less than last year. 98 to 66. That's an improvement. I mean, he's just out here clowning on reckless driving because he's rich and old. If Daboll came out and said that about one of his players on the Giants, he'd be getting crucified by the woke mob right now. Jerry Jones comes out and says it, and I believe Jared said during the break, that's just Jerry Jones. Like, that's Jerry being Jerry.
That's and really all I could
that's
say.
That's what
about
he
it.
Said about reckless driving. So, Jerry Jones, that team is so freaking annoying. It's unbelievable. Now, a team that I know that you are in on, big guy, and I am as well. I think it has an opportunity to become the league's best defense, and we'll leave that alone. But the Ravens, to me, every level, offensively and defensively, are good to great. And of course, you've got a happy Lamar Jackson with talent. 10.5 is the win total. Last year, 10 wins in division. They're plus 235. Make the playoffs, yes, is minus 170. I'm going to hand this off to Jared because he's got some thoughts. And by the way, healthy. Stanley's healthy. That is just a team. Zay Flowers, who we talked about potentially popping for rookies and maybe having the most receiving yards. Go ahead and run with your thoughts on the Ravens, Jared.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest change is going to be the structure of the offense with Todd Monken coming in to run it. And we don't necessarily get a lot of looks at the personnel, the actual players in preseason, right? They maybe starters will play a series or two. I don't think we've seen Lamar Jackson at all other than warming up. I know we haven't seen Odell. But we do get a look at the personnel groupings. And the reason why a lot of coaches do that is because they will use a lot of the formations that they are planning on using in the regular season. They just won't use the same players because they want to get a look at the backups in those specific personnel groupings. So we can glean a little bit from the formations that teams run in the preseason. And I credit Warren Sharp did a really good write-up on this yesterday. And the biggest difference of any team in the NFL in terms of their preseason personnel was the Ravens going from 10%, 11, or 12, 13 personnel, which is 2 and 3 tight ends, to now 60% three wide receiver sets in preseason. And that is fantastic news for Odell. That's fantastic news for Zay Flowers. So the moral of the story is the Ravens are going to be a very different looking offense this year. They're going to run a lot more three wide receiver groups, almost 5 or 6 times more three wide receiver sets than they ran last year. How that looks, well, a lot of that depends on how good Lamar Jackson is throwing the football. My guess is they'll run out of that set a lot too, but they also have a very interesting two tight end group. As Dustin talked about during, I think it was during one of our breaks with Mark Andrews and likely the kid they drafted out of Coastal. So I think there's a lot of interesting, let's say, Swiss Army knife formations that Monken can pull out of his hat to try to make this offense a little more dynamic. But I think at the core this year, the one thing we're going to see a lot more from Baltimore, a lot more spread it out, wide open, three wide receiver sets.
Love to see. I think Lamar potentially passes for 4,000 yards this year.
Very possible.
And his prop right now, 3,500 and a half over at DraftKings. Why are you smiling, big guy? Why are you smiling?
I love this team. This team makes me like feel warm on the inside. I love everything about them. They're going to be so exciting.
You know what it is? There's a familiarity. Like, while all these teams become petulant and want to move on from head coaches, John Harbaugh, like, he scratches his ass in the morning and wins 10 games. That's all he's done his whole entire career. So he's going to win. It comes down to luck. There's 31 other teams. I love this team too. Go ahead.
I mean, look, Greg, what Greg Roman did with this offense was necessary to establish things for Lamar, right? Because he had experience with Kaepernick. There were not many other NFL coordinators willing to fully accept that their quarterback had good legs that could go fast and that you should use them to move the ball down the field. Greg Roman did that, but we reached a point where it needed to evolve and it needed to open up more, and you needed to trust that your quarterback could do more than that. And Lamar Jackson can do more than that. They've just had a restrictor plate on him for years. Now he's getting the opportunity. Now he has the weapons. Now also he has the contract. I'm telling you, that is the biggest motivating factor for me in backing the Ravens. You won't have a situation down the stretch where maybe Lamar will, maybe he won't play because of health. No, no, no. We're going all the way to the wall here. You know, he's going to go fully out and try and justify the contract. You're getting the best of Lamar Jackson. And on top of that, he then also has the elite defense to go with it. I think the defense is going to take another step, and that's just going to make them a dominant force in the AFC.
Doesn't strike you as a dude that's going to get fat and happy because he got paid. Strikes you as a dude that is principled, has a good constitution, got paid, and is going to be hungry.
What do you think's better, if I should be fat and miserable like I am, or skinny and happy?
Actually, usually it's the opposite. Usually you're fat and happy because you're eating all the food you want. You're skinny and miserable because you're like me and you eat tuna salad and cucumbers for lunch every day.
Yeah, you're satiated because of all the grub, not because of, you know, Tinder. You know what I'm saying, big guy? Ajabo's healthy, always healthy.
Yeah, that's
like
big.
Broderick, Washington inside. Like, Ajabo only slipped in the draft because I think he ripped his ACL.
Achilles.
Towards the end of his year, yeah. His career, Achilles at Michigan. That's the only reason he slipped. He's going to be at every level. Obviously, we've discussed how much Roquan Smith helped Patrick Queen and freed him up. Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams, like every level of this defense. Rocky, I know Yassin is, there's a difference of opinion on the cornerback, but I just think he's better than Marcus Peters at this point in his career, who he's replacing. And we'll have to see as far as Marlon Humphreys, but the injury concerns you, but reports are, Jared, he should be okay.
Iffy for week one is the latest report I saw.
Yeah, and I think once we start getting into the week-to-week injury routine, it helps us manually adjust teams up and down, because the team that we are talking about today, and this goes for every team, not just the Ravens, every single team, the teams that we're talking about now, it's like when you buy that new iPhone and it's got that nice perfectly sealed, fresh little plastic film on it. And then once you take it off, it starts getting scuffs and scratches. Like, oh, it doesn't look as pretty anymore. So the injury luck, and that's why I use injury luck as, I don't want to say a big factor in my preseason handicap, but like the Giants that lost a ton of games on defense to injury last year, you expect regression. The Ravens were another one of those teams that I think might suffer a little bit there. And they've also got a really tough schedule. And that to me, that factors into the win total. Massive effect here. They finished 2-6 last year against teams with a winning record. Similar to the Giants, they struggled when they managed up in competition. And again, the most challenging schedule in their division. So I think those are the and this is a division in general that I think is usually played in a phone booth every year. It just is I think it's a really tough division to handicap, even though I'm really bullish on the Steelers. I think I'm bullish on the Ravens too, if I had to kind of put a marker on it. But the win total's high, and there's a lot of changes, especially on offense. So I could see growing pains, but I do think there's a lot of optimism in Baltimore because of a lot of these changes that I think are going to help in the long term.
We're showing 9.5 on our board. That's alt, because you're going to have to pay $1.70 to go over that. 10.5 would be more of a true number, $1.20 to the under. What Jared says about the schedule is completely true. I don't know. Sometimes you go vibes. The Ravens have good vibes, big guy, this year. There's not going to be any concern, like you said, about whether or not will he or won't he.
I just care more about what happens after the postseason for them, because you have all these quarterbacks that go shot for shot in the air. things become different when you don't have that many opportunities because Lamar can control the clock.
Also, are we sure about Joe Burrow and his health? Are we sure? Are we positive? Josh Applebaum is next.